As our world is about to enter into a technological revolution, are things being set in place for one man to rule Antichrist and what's coming in technology on this slice of fresh bread? Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread, Podcast 98. Today, we're going to mix in a lot of things. We're going to mix in Donald Trump, Antichrist, Elon Musk, a lot of stuff there, technology and Genesis 6, and also the Second Coming. You're asking me, how in the world are we going to combine all of that? I don't know. We'll find out. Pastor Brandon's going to do it, so I'm just going to listen. But we'll see how it goes. We have a lot to discuss. I'm Pastor Keith. He's Pastor Brandon. And the reason we're doing this is because as we look at our world, and remember, you're listening to two pastors here who have lived a while. We've seen a lot of things come and go. But I think what we're looking at right now is we're looking at technology just incredibly advancing forward. I mean, we have AI. We have predicted programming. We have brain-computer interface. All this stuff is coming. And what does that mean to us? What does it mean to humanity? And as we move into what we believe are the end times, and what we see also is when we look at Genesis 6 before the flood, and we look at what's going on today, it's interesting how there is similarities here. And we do know from Scripture that our Lord Jesus has said in Matthew 24, verse 37, our Lord said in Matthew 24, 37, "For just in the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand when the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be." So that's kind of where we're going with this today. It's just been, there's a lot of things happening. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon about all the technology. And as we look at our world today, is the world being set up for Antichrist? Are things falling in place? And we're going to talk about Donald Trump right now. Donald Trump is someone that we love, that at this time, he is, we voted for him, and I think he's doing a good job right now. But it's interesting, when you look at Donald Trump, he has the characteristics of Antichrist. And that, I'm not saying Donald Trump is the Antichrist, but there is a lot of similarities between him and what Antichrist will be like, because he has Paula White as his religious leader, guru, and she is a false teacher. And so we know that false teachers will, you know, be around the Antichrist. So I'm just going to ask you, Pastor Brandon, as we look at the world today, is the world being set up for Antichrist?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is being set up. We believe the Bible teaches that there will come a time when there'll be a seven-year tribulation, and during that tribulation time, the Antichrist will be a peacemaker for the first part of that, and then he's going to set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem in the second part of that. And so I think that we're getting to the point where it's ripe for someone to do that, and part of that has to do with the technology, as you mentioned, the technology that we're seeing that is happening, especially really over the past year. It seems like that this is really accelerated.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that technology. We've got Elon Musk in the White House with Donald Trump, and he is huge into this AI technology. Is that something that we should be concerned about? Or let me just ask you this. Is AI a good thing for us, or is it a bad thing, or is it one of those things that it can go either way?
Well, okay. I think Christians need to really better understand AI and what's happening. I think it's a situation where at this point, what's happening is that it's basically a logical model, and it's taking data from there's data that's being fed into it. And it's basically, from what I understand, a supercomputer with supercomputing technology. And so it's basically being fed all of this information. And then what it's doing is using a logical model to spit out, you know, so if you ask it a question, it spits out the answer based on all of this data that's been entered into it. And so it's interesting because of the data is so vast, the answers are generally pretty good because of the amount of data that's in it, that's been put into it. And the idea is that when you extrapolate over a large amount of data, the chances are you're going to get the right answer and, you know, the correct answer, whatever that is. And so right now, you know, I think it's a tool. I think it's not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself at the moment, you know, and you know, I'm not talking about where it's going. I think it's a tool that we can use. I don't think as Christians we should be afraid of it, but I think that we should be wary of where it probably will go. I don't see it ending well, I'll just say that up front.
I mean, I've heard conspiracy theories, but we have people talking about all these flight accidents that have been happening recently. We've had some airliners. We had one in Toronto that flipped upside down, and just weird things happening to airlines. So now you hear that they want to have air traffic controllers be AI, and they're also talking about down the road they would like all pilots or all planes to be AI. They feel like the mistakes that happen are human errors. If you give it over to a computer, to AI, you won't have any of these mistakes, and everything seems to be going in that direction. I think we even talked about one time, you look at fast food industry, eventually that'll be all AI and robotic, and there'll be no humans. When we look at all this technology, again, it seems like a good thing, but it can also lead to who's going to control all of this technology.
Well, I think that's the big issue. I mean, it's interesting because we're going through something that's almost, or I think more, it's going to be more profound. The change is going to be more profound going forward than even what we saw in the Industrial Revolution. Mm. So in the Industrial Revolution, over the 50 years or so that things changed, we went from, you know, people on farms and basically an agricultural society to things being mechanized and manufacturing coming on board and things being built, you know, like, you know, Henry Ford came in with, you know, building the car for the common man. But there were other things that were being manufactured and, you know, people, it was a migration from the country to the city, you know, from farming to manufacturing. You know, we are now a manufacturing-based country, or we have been. And I think that this change that we're coming up, I don't know what revolution you would call it, and it's not the Industrial Revolution, but it's an AI revolution. Maybe that's what it'll end up being called. But there's a revolution that we're undergoing right now that is accelerated, and it's accelerating. You know, I don't know. I can't remember what the number is, but, you know, the knowledge has doubled, like, you know, from the time of Christ to, you know, the whatever time, you know. But what I'm getting at is it's on an exponential curve. And ultimately what's happening now, I think, is that knowledge is doubling every few years. And I think it's even being more accelerated with now the introduction of AI.
Yeah, didn't you tell me it used to be every 18 months, but now you said it's every 12 hours?
No, what I said was that AI, I listened to a program with a popular newscaster who said that AI is doubling in knowledge every 12 to 15 hours.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true. I'm just quoting what he said, but I do know that regardless, if you think about what's happening now and the use of AI, even just a year ago, these things were in their infancy. And I would say they're still in their infancy, but what's happening is beyond comprehension, really.
Yeah, with quantum computers, I mean, they're talking about predictive programming. So we're talking about machines that can predict what a person is going to do, and it's 99% accurate. So that is something that is a little bit terrifying, to think that a machine can be that accurate and ruling that. And where I was going with is when we look at Elon Musk, he's really big into these chips into the brain, right? These, yeah.
Well, I think there's a master plan. So basically, I feel like that Elon Musk, if you look at it, there seems to be a master plan. And I can't quite put my finger on what that master plan is, but here's what it seems to be. So if you think about, you mentioned connectivity, You mentioned machines taking over for us, you know, and I mentioned an AI revolution. So basically, we talk about an AI revolution, and you know what I think is happening is that you brought up specifically airplanes, air traffic control,
yeah,
but also cars. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting. Both of them. It's interesting because with airplanes, with commercial flights, they have routes that they use. Like they have routes from point A to point B to point C to point D. So if they're going to go to Dallas, they have a prescribed route that they use in order to get from Gainesville to Dallas. If they go from LA to New York, there's a prescribed route that they use. And it has to do with where the stations are, you know, where the air traffic control stations are, so that they fly in that grid. One of the things they would like to do is make it where you can fly anywhere, anytime, without having to be, that you don't have to be nailed down to this prescribed route. The problem is that the reason why they have those prescribed routes is because, you know, like they fly at a certain, you know, odd elevation if they're going certain one direction, they fly at even elevation if they're going another direction, and that way they can't, you know, they theoretically can't crash. And so they set those rules in order for to reduce the opportunity for crashes. So if I have planes flying at different elevations, so that when they cross paths, they can never intersect. So, you know, obviously they have to go through, there's chances it could happen, you know, due to human error. But if you introduce AI into it, and AI is now air traffic controlling, and that AI is now speaking, quote unquote, speaking directly to the plane and telling the plane where to go, you know, you're already, right now, everything's fly by wire. Most everything's fly by wire at this point, meaning that it's all electronic. And, you know, they don't actually have, I mean, I think some planes are still cabled, but, you know, like the controls are controlled, and it actuates a motor to do, like, raising the flaps or changing the direction, you know, that sort of thing. You know, that those things are done electronically now. And so it's only another step, really. You know, we already have autopilot that they, you know, once they're up in the air, they can put it on autopilot, and basically the plane flies itself. It's only another step to being able to fly the plane. I mean, I think the technology is already there because they're doing it with drones. So, you know, it's basically the same as drone technology. And so everything's controlled by, you know, electronically, and, you know, there's connectivity. But I think what is probably holding them back in terms of commercial flight is, well, one thing is time, but connectivity. So let's go back to cars. Elon Musk is also doing self-driving cars. That's one of the big things he's trying to do, is self-driving cars. And what's holding back that in terms of cars that are able to drive autonomously? Well, what's holding that back is ultimately connectivity. And when I say connectivity, I'm talking about the ability to communicate with other cars on the road, and the ability to communicate with, you know, whatever the grid is. As an example, if you got to the point where there's no stoplights, if you had a computer system, an AI system that's controlling cars, you wouldn't have to have stoplights because they could sequence themselves through the intersections because it's the same thing with airplanes because of all, you know, what's going on. And so Elon Musk, I think, is wanting that. He wants that connectivity for everybody. What's he doing? Well, he has Starlink. And so he's put literally thousands of satellites into the orbit in order to have constant connectivity. As a matter of fact, Apple just came out and said that their iPhones are going to be able to connect to Starlink. And so which means that you're always going to have live internet connection through satellite, you know, with your iPhone. I mean, that's how I'm taking it, is what they mean to do. And so you look at, so again, we're going back to his master plan. I mean, ultimately what's happening is that, you know, if you put all this together, you know, the idea of Starlink, the idea of automated cars, you bring up air traffic control, which, I mean, I don't know that he's been directly involved in that, but it's just a step away. You know, you look at now also Neuralink, which is basically linking the AI with humanity, with our brains. And so you have that going on. you know, what is, and then throw in there the whole rocketry with SpaceX, you know, so you throw the rocketry in there and then you throw in that he's wanting to go to Mars. That's his big push, is to go to Mars. So the question is, again, what is his master plan? Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that it would seem like that the master plan is to make a new humanity. And I mean, I think that's the master plan, to make a new and improved humanity. Now, is he doing that for nefarious or evil purposes? Well, I don't think he's a believer, so you know that I can't be assured that he's doing it, you know, that he has the right intentions in doing it. But I also can't, if he accomplishes this, even if he doesn't have nefarious or evil intentions, if he accomplishes what he's trying to do, the problem is that someone is going to take advantage of it. And that's where, you know, the question of the Antichrist. I think that what's going to happen is control is going to be concentrated among a smaller and smaller group of people, so that ultimately the Antichrist can arise out of that group of people as the leader of those leaders. You know, if you might say it this way, as a leader of the kings of the earth. And so, yeah, I'm not calling Elon Musk the Antichrist. I'm not even saying Elon Musk has, you know, evil intentions necessarily. He very well could, but I do see, and I think there is a danger with what we're doing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, we're going to go into more with Trump and the Antichrist kind of parallels what he is going to be like. But I want to go back to Genesis 6, because what you just said made me think of this. When we look at the fallen angels and they their offspring became the Nephilim, they were kind of the ruling class of Earth. People were almost worshiping them because they were half angelic, half human giants. And as we look at as our world today, we have a ruling class that is, like you said, almost, and again, I don't know if that's done with the evil intent completely, but when you look at what they're doing with this brain computer interface things and chips, and it's to make mankind, like you said, better. And there's a lot of similarities there that when we look back at what was going on there, the genetic tampering with humanity, and also now today with, and again, Elon Musk, I'm not saying that he's completely evil, but there is that tampering with humanity. Again, and the Bible predicted this was all going to happen. When I was young, it was hard to figure out where this was all going to go. How could, when computers came on the scene, we kind of, okay, now I understand how Antichrist can control all these things, but AI was not something that we even thought about. You talked about it earlier. Talk about how much things you think will change for the average guy like you and me. Will we even notice the change? So hard for us to relate to our world soon, or will we just fall into place because it's going to make it so much easier?
Well, that's hard to answer. I mean, I think it depends on who you are and what your, you know, context is. I mean, if you're 80 years old at this point and you know, you've already kind of retired from life, so to speak, and you're not really involved in any of this stuff anymore. I don't know that it's necessarily going to change everything about, I don't know how much it's going to change, but I will say that things are going to be different because, you know, like AI can now be used to diagnose, you know, diseases. So if you're 80 years old and you're struggling with certain diseases, you may end up like on the computer with AI getting diagnosed for whatever you need to do and what medicines you need to take and what, you know, being told through AI as opposed to going to see a doctor. So that changes everything. You know, I think we talked about, you know, the connectivity that's going to be there through, you know, things like Starlink. I mean, that's going to change everything. You know, you talk about fast food restaurants and not seeing a human. You know, we're already to the point where we order on our phones or we order on a kiosk and we don't even necessarily order with a person. You can walk into McDonald's and never see a person and get your food. You can walk into Starbucks and get your coffee and never have to talk to anyone. You know, we're already there. And so I think that in those ways, things are going to change profoundly for people. Do I think that people are going to be left in the dust with this? Yes. I think that there are going to be people who are on the front end of this revolution who are going to benefit from it. And there's going to be people, I think, that are going to be left behind. And what's interesting is I think the people that are going to be left behind, a lot of them are going to be what we consider white collar people, like lawyers and doctors and engineers that, you know, that get left behind because of it. I really do see this being a profound change, probably on an order of magnitude greater than the Industrial Revolution.
So do you see it as it'll be a really good change at first, and then it will start becoming more dark?
Well, all I can do is point to something like the cell phone. Back in the mid-90s, almost no one had cell phones. And then, you know, they began to become more popular, and more and more people were getting cell phones, but it was just for talking, and then you were able to text. And then it was only a 180 character text at that point. You couldn't go past that. And so, you know, then you began to have data, you know, where you actually are connecting to the tower and you're able to get data through like a BlackBerry. But what I'm getting at is that then we ended up getting the iPhone and the Galaxies, and you basically have a small computer in your hand. You have, 24/7 connectivity to the internet. And so it's helpful. It's a tool, right? But there's a dark side to it. There's a dark side to having 24/7 connectivity. Mm-hmm. You know, there's obviously more porn that's produced now, and you can see porn at 24/7. It's just 24/7 connectivity. And so obviously that's a terrible thing. So, you know, there's other terrible things about it. There, you know, I would argue that social media has completely changed the landscape of our society. And, you know, we're more siloed than ever because of social media and the algorithms that are in social, you know, that are part of that experience. I think when you ask about if it's going to get better or worse, I think there's going to be both aspects. Like there's going to be, that we've already seen it with AI. I use AI, you know, to help my productivity. I don't use it to write sermons. Make sure everybody knows that. I write my sermons from scratch. I would never use it in that way. But there are ways that I can use it as a tool to improve my productivity. And so I'm probably very limited in doing so. But it's made my life easier. And it's made my life, you could argue, in some ways better because I'm more efficient. Makes me more productive. And so those are good things, right? And I think that we're going to see a lot of those good things. But I think the dark side to it is that it has the potential to concentrate power in fewer and fewer people's hands. And so what's going to happen, I think, is that, you know, you're going to have a situation where very few people are going to have control of the entire world through this. And I think that's the grave danger that we're dealing with here. Do I think it's going to happen to the point of the loss of humanity? No, I don't think so. I don't think that machines are going to take over humanity. But you went back to Genesis 6, and I think that the trigger for the Lord was that personally, I think what's happening there is that they're messing with the genetic code. And we've talked about this several times, but I think the demons were messing with the genetic code, trying to destroy man and trying to destroy him. Well, we're right back there. Like that's exactly what's happening. They're now manipulating the genetic code. And so that's part of what's going on even with Neuralink, is that we're developing these technologies that to do these things, and we're doing it in order to understand the meaning of life. As a matter of fact, if you think I'm crazy, let me just play something for you, because I know a lot of you think I'm crazy, and that's okay.
Nobody says it as far as you know.
As far as I know, nobody's ever said it. Well, I guess I think people have said it to my face. But yeah, so just listen. This is Elon Musk. This was recorded 8 days ago, and it was about their AI technology called Grok 3. So this is just the first clip of this interview. Let me play it.
So the mission of XAI and Grok is to understand the universe. We want to understand the nature of the universe so we can figure out what's going on, where are the aliens, what's the meaning of life, how does the universe end, how did it start, all these fundamental questions. We're driven by curiosity about the nature of the universe, and that's also what causes us to be a maximally truth-seeking AI, even if that truth is sometimes at odds with what is politically correct. You must absolutely rigorously pursue truth, or you will not understand the universe, you'll be suffering from some amount of delusion or error. So that is our goal, figure out what's going on.
I would agree with that. The truth is in the Bible. So
yeah, well, I mean, obviously he's not taking
a
he's not taking a biblical worldview. Right. What I'm trying to point out is that he's developing Grok, the XAI, X being formerly Twitter, but that's part of what's going on, or what that's part of, that's the partnership here, is that X, that company, is now delving into AI, or has been for the past several months. And so he said the stated purpose is to understand life, and that includes the genetic code, that includes the beginning of life, to understand where we came from, and ultimately to understand where we're going. And he's wanting to use AI to do that, to accomplish this ends. And so, I mean, I would argue that that's the territory that only God can, I mean, like, he knows the beginning from the end. And so we're trying to be like God. I mean, and that's, and I think that's what is, was happening. And let me just say this, we've talked about this before. I think we did that Tucker interview where they were talking about the technology that's been, that the government has and different people have. You know, where is this technology coming from? Like, there's been an explosion of this technology that's out there. Microsoft just announced another state of matter. I mean, that they found that's going to improve their chip processing, like, exponentially. And so, you know, where's all this technology coming from? Is it just that we just so happened in 2025, all of a sudden stumbled upon all this technology, and it's now coming to fruition? Very well could be. But I would argue that I think a lot of this is coming from the demonic realm. I think that, you know, even the UFO sightings that are there, that some of them seem legitimate. We've talked about it before. Those things are, I think it's demonic. But I think that ultimately they're trying to give humanity enough information in order to destroy themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? That's his goal is the destruction of humanity. He hates man. He hates God who created man, but he hates man. And so I think that he's giving the technology, this technology is ultimately meant to destroy man and to be like God.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you look at Genesis 6, a lot of the same things going on there, where Elon Musk just said it in what you played, that they're looking at the aliens, the technology. We believe that those are demons, but pretending to be aliens from another planet that are giving this technology to man, which is causing all this stuff to explode technology-wise. And it is interesting that, and this is a question I think I've asked you, and I know it's hard to answer this, but how far do you think the Lord would let technology go with human interfacing and taking a human brain and putting it into a machine? Or, you know, people want to live forever, and that there is a way you could do that with your brain.
Yeah, I take I believe there's going to be a tribulation period, 7-year tribulation period prior to 1,000-year kingdom. That's my understanding. That's our understanding of eschatology that would then lead into the new heaven and new earth. But I take the tribulation period as being a period where man has brought himself to the brink, right? Man is on the cusp of destroying himself. And I think that's where God is going to step in, you know, where he's going to step in during this tribulation period in order to judge the world. And he's going to lead, I would argue, he's going to lead Israel on a new exodus. Mm. And ultimately, he's going to establish his kingdom on earth. But you know, when is that going to happen? We don't know. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen. But I think that going back to the technology, it just makes sense based on what we're seeing. You know, and everybody knows there's dangers to all this stuff. We don't know exactly what is going to happen. We don't know all the dangers, but we know there's dangers to doing what we're doing. I mean, the whole AI thing is dangerous itself. The Neuralink thing is incredibly dangerous. The idea of messing with the genetic code, you know, in terms of understanding more and more about the genetic code and being able to mess with it, that's a dangerous thing. And I think man is going to go to the brink of destruction. And God, I think that's where God is going to step in.
Yeah. That's why I was going to ask you, do you believe that how do we, I don't know how to word this question. Do we believe we're in the end times? Does this prove that we are in the end times? Because how long can...
Well, I think it depends on what you're talking about end times.
Well, I'm talking about the second coming.
Well, I think that we're toward the end of the church age. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. When I say toward the end of the church age, is it going to be another 5 years? Is it 2030? Or is it going to be more like 2050 or 2100, whatever? You know, is it going to be more in that order of things? I don't know. But I do know that I believe when I look at the world and what's going on, that we're closer to the end than we've ever been. I was saying this when I was 20 years old. You know, even before I was a believer, I was kind of prognosticating about the world because, you know, at the time, you know, I thought, well, it's not going to be able to hold together very long. And here we are 40 years later. And, you know, if I'd have known then what I know now, I would definitely have been saying it. So that the world is close to an end. So yeah, I mean, we're closer to the end than we are the beginning. That's for sure.
In my estimation. Anyway. Yeah, because if you allow this to continue and computers and AI and supercomputers and quantum computers that can do billions of calculations in 5 seconds. I've heard people say this, that the machines, and I'm not talking about Terminator, but it's interesting how that movie comes to mind when you think about this, but these machines would actually move us into a post-human environment because they would eventually see humans as, like, we would see cockroaches maybe or something. You know, let's just eliminate them because they're not as, or make us slaves, or what would they do?
No, I don't know. I think that the goal is to integrate humanity with machine.
That's kind of the way it seems, right?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, you could argue that what is humanity if we're not human?
Yeah,
like if we're part machine, part man, what is humanity at that point? And I would say that's ultimately the destruction of humanity. Now, I don't think it's going to get to that point, but I think we're going to be on the brink of that. When Christ returns, it seems like that's the direction it's going.
And Satan is such a wonderful manipulator. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at what Elon Musk is doing, as I grow older, let's say when I'm in my 80s and they have a chip they can implant to help my memory, to help me not get Alzheimer's, I might be tempted to do that, you know, if it'll keep me sharp. But it also opens the door to, we haven't talked about this, but we could go to a cashless society where everybody has some kind of chip or something in their skin, which they all have to do is scan their wrist and their...
Well, and you're kind of getting into the mark of the beast.
And it all fits, right? But it actually would almost be a benefit to have that because you don't have to worry about losing your wallet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, there would be some supposed benefits from, you know, that connectivity. And again, going back to Starlink, I think the what's happening with that is that it allows for that kind of connectivity. It allows someone to monitor every transaction. They're going to be able to monitor every movement that you make, all, you know, anywhere in the world because of this connectivity through, you know, these kind of satellites.
You were just saying, it's interesting because I was the same way back in, like, let's go back into the 80s where you're like, yeah, we're getting close. Everything's in place. But now you look at it, everything is in place. But you also mentioned something. I want you to talk about this. Your hypothesis, and it's a good one, I think, is Elon Musk, the reason he's teamed up with Trump is that you said that, I'm going to let you say it, but we don't have the power grid to supply what he needs?
That's part of it. We don't have it. So basically, he needs the infrastructure to do what he's doing. And in order to have the infrastructure, he needs the resources. And what's happening right now is that a ton of resources, and when I say resources, I'm talking about labor and I'm talking about money, like wealth, a ton of those resources, and labor would be smart people, right? People who have intelligence that can do do the things that he's trying to do. There's a ton of those resources that are being sucked up by the government. And so, you know, they talk about the golden age of America. And that's where we're about to hit a golden age. And I don't know his motives, and I want to be careful, but it does seem as though that the motive for him is that he wants a country that is strong, that it, you know, that has eliminated waste in order to be able to put all of the resources toward the things that he's trying to do. And, you know, and then you go back to the power grid. Right now, we don't have a power grid that can support the things that he wants to do. And so we need to spend, as a country, we need to spend tons of money on infrastructure to make that happen. And, you know, because these data centers that they're building, matter of fact, he built one in a matter of, I think it was 120 days or 140 days, something wow. like that. And these, I've been involved in building a data center for Facebook, doing the roof on it and the roof and floors. And I can tell you, knowing the plans of those, at least what they revealed to us as far as the plans and knowing how many servers and all that stuff, we're talking about a tremendous undertaking that to do that in 140 days, to do that in not, you know, in much, in a less than a year, they put this together. That's just what I saw on that video wow. I'm watching. And so, but these data centers are they suck an incredible amount of power to be able to run these, to be able to run these servers to make this all happen. And we don't have the power grid for that. Like the demand is going to dwarf the supply if we don't do something. So I think the next step is going to be, you know, developing nuclear power in the United States, because I think that's the only direction this is going to, that I think that's the only source of power that can do what Elon Musk and others are trying to do. And so I think that what's happening is that I think Donald Trump and Elon Musk right now are going for a golden age. But I think the reason why Elon joined Trump is because he sees Trump as a guy that can make that happen. You know, because Trump's a big builder. He builds. And so, you know, they even, one of the first things they announced was, you know, this facility in Texas having to do with AI. And so, you know, putting the government fully behind AI is, I think, on the horizon, if not already here. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the whole, you know, that now that Elon has taken over, I mean, basically SpaceX is the new NASA, and he's doing stuff that NASA could never do because he doesn't have the government red tape to deal with. And so can you imagine if you remove all the government red tape and you move those resources from the government to now dealing with the stuff that he is trying to do? Yeah, I think that seems to be where this is going and what he's trying to accomplish.
It makes sense in that he would be cutting all this waste to use some of that for his stuff, and then also to put more money into, because I know he does want to go to Mars, and that, you know, like you said, you pump up the space program. Also, it'd be interesting. I'm going to keep my eye on if they do build some kind of power grid thing. No, you talked about the new matter.
Yes,
that wouldn't have anything to do with energy, would it? Or
yeah, I'm not sure that they're using that to make chips is what computer chips.
Yeah,
super quantum computer chips, and so that's what they. I mean, Microsoft just came out last week about that, and so yeah, I don't know if that has anything to do with power, but I think that they're going to start developing, they have to start developing nuclear power, because that's really the only source of power that can even come near the production that they need in order to run these data farms.
Yeah, I was going to even say, I've heard that Tesla actually was tapping into the electromagnetic field that went around the Earth. And this is a theory that we can maybe
You're talking about Nikola Tesla?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do a podcast on that. They believe that the pyramids were some kind of power grid. And there's pyramids all over the world and you and I both agree that before the flood, the Earth was very far more technologically advanced than we think or even know.
Well, I think even after the flood, when Noah and his family, because, you know, you have the Tower of Babel and then God spread them out over the whole Earth, I think that they had incredible technology that was carried over from before the flood, that they knew how to do things. That there was knowledge and understanding that had happened before the flood, and they were able to replicate some of that. And I think the whole idea of building a city and building a tower to God, again, I think that's technology that they had that is beyond what we can imagine. And I think that is the case. It's interesting because, you know, we don't have a lot of information about, we have almost no information prior to the flood, only the biblical record, right?
Yeah.
We have almost no information about the period between the flood and the Tower of Babel. And so after the Tower of Babel, God spread them throughout the earth so that they couldn't come together. so that they couldn't come together in order to build a, you know, build something to the heavens. And so it had to be a real danger. I don't think that was a something God made up. I think that that was a real danger that man was trying to come together to unify, similar to before the flood. And so then he scattered the language. And I think now what's happening is that, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but, you know, you watch some of these meetings like at Davos, and they're talking in real time, and somebody's translating it in real time. And it's as if someone who speaks Spanish is now speaking English. You know, you can hear them in your native language. And, you know, that's another thing that AI is going to be able to do, is be able to convert language in real time. And, you know, there's going to be no need for translation because everybody's going to be able to hear it in their own language.
Yeah.
And again, so when that happens, there's going to be all this increase in productivity that are in collaboration, you know, throughout the world. Again, that's exactly where I think it's going. And I think that's, you know, again, you know, this is just a new tower we're trying to build to heaven.
Yeah, we'll look for that new power grid or some kind of power source with all this technology. If that pops up in the next few years, then we know, wow, we are really close. But it is interesting how when you look at back in Genesis, you have the Nephilim, the offspring, they're leading mankind into all this, showing them all these wonderful things. And now you have what Elon Musk believes are alien technology leading mankind into all these wonderful things. There is a similarity there. And as, I just want to wrap this up today by just going into a little bit of, talked about the Antichrist and how similarities are with Donald Trump. And it is really strange when you look at Donald Trump and, you know, it'll talk about Antichrist, will be wounded. He will have some kind of wound, whether it's an assassination attempt or something. Donald Trump had that. Donald Trump's very charismatic. But all the world leaders are actually a little bit afraid of Donald Trump. Like, he has that sort of power. When Donald Trump now walks into a room, there's a little bit of a buzz going on. And I admit this readily, that Donald Trump in my lifetime is the most amazing political figure I think I've ever, you know, encountered. That a guy who comes out of nowhere, runs for president, wins it, then loses, then runs again and wins, you know, but also is almost killed, is hated by half people, and they try to ruin him. They did everything they could to keep him out of the White House, and he won. Like, it's just an amazing story. But we also see that a little bit of character, and again, I'm not saying Donald Trump's the Antichrist, but there's a little bit of a similarity between him and what Antichrist will be like. The Pope is now in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know how long he has to go, but let's say the next Pope is like this charismatic younger guy. Could he be the Antichrist? You know, we don't know who it is, but it'd be interesting. And I just wanted you to kind of just end the program with a little bit of Antichrist and Donald Trump. Again, not that they are, but...
Well, yeah, I don't see Donald Trump as the Antichrist. I think, if nothing else, he's too old at this point, I think. But I think he does have there is a charisma about Donald Trump that we will see, that is a type of what we will see with the Antichrist. I think he'll be a very... he'll be a unifying figure, where Donald Trump is a polarizing figure. Although those who are unified behind Donald Trump are definitely in unison. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of people would probably struggle hearing, you know, me as a Christian wonder about Elon Musk and Donald Trump and what they're doing. You know, and I want to say, for, you know, I'll get more to your question of the Antichrist, but I want to say before I do that, you know, I voted for Donald Trump in November. I came out, I gave you and I did the voter guide thing, and that's what I said, that's who I endorsed. Knowing what I knew then, I wouldn't change anything. It's just been over the past few months, and the speed at which the change is coming, and a lot of that is coming from his pen. And when I look at Elon Musk being involved at the level that he is, and I start asking myself why, I begin to understand or begin to think, oh, wow, this is much bigger than what we could ever understand. And what I don't know, and then I'll go back to the Antichrist here in a second. What I don't know is that right now you have Musk and Trump that are leading the charge in this, you know, on the quote unquote conservative side. On the progressive side, what you have is still these world leaders, you know, like the going to Davos, and they're having these World Economic forums, and they're talking about the world in 2030 and, you know, the Great Reset and all the stuff that's going on there. My question is that which side is going to be the one that wins, right? I mean, because both of them are trying to remake the world. Both of them are trying to remake humanity. So which side is going to win? Or is it going to be a side? Is it going to be that they come together under common goals and a common understanding? And so I don't know. I mean, you go back to Donald Trump. I don't think Donald Trump is the Antichrist. I'm not even sure that Donald Trump has ill intentions. I'm not even saying that. I think that a lot of things he's doing are good things. I'm thankful to see a lot of the things that he's doing. I voted for him. I think today I would, well, I know. Today I would definitely vote for him over Kamala and Joe Biden and Obama and that whole group there, because they stood for death. So I don't think as a Christian we had a choice but to vote the way we did. But as Christians, we can't put our head in the sand and go, oh, all is well now. You know, Donald and Elon have it, and the world is good now. And no, because it's the world is still hurtling toward whatever God has said is going to happen, has ordained to happen, it's still going to happen. And it's going to happen maybe in a different way than what we maybe understood. Maybe we thought that, you know, it was going to be the Democrats who were going to take us down this road, but it very well could be the opposite, that because of what's happening and some of the technology and the things that they're pushing, it very well could be that the avenue is through Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And like I say, they may not even be the ones who ultimately take us there, but they are the ones who seem to be paving the way.
How concerning is it for Christians that we have Elon Musk and also Paula White surrounding Donald Trump for you?
Oh, I think that's very concerning. It shows that not only is Donald Trump like theologically way off base, he has, you know, any understanding he has theologically is wrong. I think it also shows, though, that he understands that there needs to be a religious element, which, going back to the Antichrist, there's going to be the false prophet, right? So definitely you can see some parallels there, you know, yeah. Where you have Donald Trump and you have Paula White. And so, I don't think that that's, no. that they rise to that level, but it certainly seems to be a pattern that, you know, that we, I think we'll see going forward.
That's why we were bringing this up. It is interesting because, I mean, I voted for Donald Trump 3 times. I've never voted for anybody 3 times, I don't think, in my life. But it is interesting how that's how manipulative Satan is that you can look at someone and say, yeah, they're good, and then you vote for him, and then, I'm not saying this is going to happen with Donald Trump either, but suddenly 3 years later, boom, they're a different person. And that, I think that's what Antichrist will be. He's just going to be this world leader where people are love him. They're going to stand with him, and then all of a sudden Satan enters into him, and then he becomes a different guy and starts this dictator thing going on.
Let me give you another connection. That now, again, this is, I think there is going to be a future leader. I think unwittingly, maybe, I think potentially Donald Trump and Elon are sort of paving the way for this person to be able to rise up. I already talked about it. I think the power is going to get concentrated in smaller and smaller hands, a smaller and smaller number of people. And I think it gives rise to one person being able to take over that group, which ultimately would rule the world, which we see in prophecy. But, you know, it's also, you know, you're talking about the, you know, the book of Revelation, you know, Revelation 13, it says it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, and that his image, that the image of the beast would even speak, as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And so, you know, when you look back at AI and you look back at what we talked about, is this beast, is it going to be AI that's going to be able to be brought to life, you know, that actually is going to be able to, you know, it have thoughts and truly think, and, you know, it's going to be given to the Antichrist to be able to bring this to life. And so, I mean, I do think we're going down a really, really dangerous road that seems to be more and more towards some of the things that we see in Revelation.
Be interesting there, like you said, if it is true and technology is doubling every 12 to 14 hours, AI is doubling.
Yes.
Wow.
So at some point, they're going to become equal with man, and then at some point, they're going to exceed man. But if you're doubling every 8 hours, every 12 hours, how long is that going to be?
Yeah, I think it just happened about 4 hours ago.
Well, it very well could have.
Man. Wow. I was just thinking also, as we wrap this up, who's to say in 3 or 4 years, let's say we look at Grace Church and John MacArthur, let's say in 3 or 4 years, they have AI is advanced to a point where you could have John MacArthur, like a image of him, re-preaching the same sermons he did 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Like he could always be there. Like, it's just weird to think about stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, we kind of already have that with, you know, television recordings and all that, but it just seems to be a even greater iteration of that. So it advancing on even what we've been able to do.
Yeah. And when you mentioned Gronk, I was thinking when he played for the the Patriots. Didn't he play with Tom Brady?
Yeah, that's Gronk, not Grok.
You've been listening to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.